it gonna take to make this all stop now, baby? Till it all burst out, till it all burst out. Listen, mama, know you're broken hearted, cause the piece you're hoping for. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Do That Brother.
Live from the hotel room. I don't have a voice. Carmen doesn't have a voice. We're going to sit in the hotel room and record a podcast and talk about what we've been doing for the past 24 hours, right?
Basketball.
Right. We're going to talk about what Indianapolis is like right now and what we have planned for the rest of the day if we can afford it, right?
Absolutely.
Let's just talk about it. Okay. So your thoughts, sir. Here, let's start with last night, okay? Let's start at, what's the name of the place?
Gatsby's.
We're Gatsby's. We're watching the waitresses in Gatsby's are wearing boiler up shirts. There are Purdue fans there. We are both wearing orange shirts that say Illini. We are clearly cheering for North Texas out of spite.
Mean green.
And Purdue comes all the way back. The fans start clapping. The guy to our left is pretty excited about the comeback. It goes to overtime. The Mean Green hit their first three-pointer in overtime, and what do you say, young man?
Boom!
And when you said boom, what did the guy to your left do?
I had to duck, I think.
No, he left. He got so mad he didn't want to watch the game near an Illini fan cheering for a team that was not his own team, and so he left the bar. How do you feel about your actions at this moment?
I love it.
Welcome to the NCAA tournament.
Yes. There's two thoughts on that. You either want the Big Ten to do very well, or you hate every team in the Big Ten, and it's a 50-50 split.
Yes.
I cannot root for any other Big Ten team, so I want to see them all lose except for our beloved Illini. That means Purdue goes down. It was great to see Ohio State lose. Can't wait for Iowa to lose shortly, and Michigan.
Yes, I have always made the argument this way. You and I are aligned with this. I put it on Twitter while we were at the bar last night. It was, some people get really upset at that opinion. It's like, if the Big Ten sucks, then we suck. So if you're basically cheering for us, our program to go down or to be worse or to be at a lower level, you know, do you really want it to where there's just one Big Ten team in the Big? I don't think like that. You want the conference to be strong all the way up until Selection Sunday. And the moment Selection Sunday is finished, that work is done, and it is time for everyone to lose in horrific fashion for my own enjoyment. Like, I don't – look, explain to me how someone could be cheering for Brad Davidson last night when he put up 29 points. Explain the mentality of an Illinois fan watching Davidson-Kofi thing 10 days ago in, or, you know, 2 weeks ago, 13 days ago in Madison, Wisconsin, Davidson trying to
bait them
into a foul on Kofi, a flagrant on Kofi. Explain to me how someone can then turn around 13 days later and be like, oh, I hope Davidson hits this three. Yes, go Davidson. I do not have the capability within me to ever do that. I can't even understand the concept.
I can't either. The SEC can do it. The ACC does it a little bit.
Yep.
I think across the Big Ten, it's not like the other two conferences. You have a genuine dislike for the other programs, and you can't see them succeed while you're failing.
Yes. And I can't, like, I mean, I guess Rutgers, like, that's okay, right? You feel bad for them. What was their last tourney win? Like, 1983 or something? Last time they were in was 91. That's a big deal. I feel okay about that. Yes, Paul Mulcahy is annoying, but I can at least, I don't know, accept that. I can be okay with that. The teams you mentioned at the outset here, I can't, who could... Like, somebody's going to cheer for Iowa today? Is that really going to be a thing? Like, people are actually going to say, oh, hey, Bohannon, I hope you hit this three. I hope he hits three more in a row. I know we agree, and we're having this argument against people who aren't here, but I cannot comprehend that.
Everyone's looking at that in the third round, fourth round, when they do conference records and they want to see the Big Ten 7-1 or whatever. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's meaningless. Who's going to win the title? One team.
Yes.
And it needs to be our team.
And can it be our team? That's what we're here in our hotel room to figure out. Carmen and I just went to breakfast. Shout out La Peep. Not the one in Champaign, the one in Indiana. We just went to breakfast, and we were discussing this over breakfast, and I said, okay, before we go to games today, before we go watch games today, we need to go back to the hotel room and record this and have this conversation. So do you want to pick up where we left off in the conversation? Like, do you want to, like, you know, how hard the NCAA tournament is to win? And, I mean, we were pretty deep in, once you're in, you need a little luck here. You need a toe on the line on a three-pointer there. You know, the things have to go your way, and great teams like 05 don't win it all, and bad teams like Villanova do win it all back in the 80s. You know, like it just happens, and you know, NC State 83 is probably the biggest example of this. Like they had, what, 6 1-point games in their last nine. They needed to win the ACC tournament just to get in, and then they had to survive overtime, and they had to survive some guy missing the front end of a 1-1, I think, to beat Pepperdine or something, and they end up winning the national title because of it. So there's luck involved, there's everything else, but you know,
it's the tournament.
Yes, it's the tournament. And so we were trying to determine, okay, well, what's the happiness level here, as we're both frightened of the narrative tomorrow with Loyola, and we're frightened of where this goes. So we're just trying to settle our brains on, you know, are we going to win? Can we win it all? And if we don't win it all, is that disappointing? And where's the level of satisfaction and everything else? So your thoughts, good sir.
Well, you can just go to the beginning of the Drexel game. The Drexel student fans are loud. The Illinois fans, which we outnumbered, you know, 9-1.
Sure.
Quiet. It's been 7 years since the tournament.
Yep.
It's been 15 years, 16 years from a one seed. We know what's out there, and the entire fan base is nervous. At least, you know, that's what I think.
Absolutely.
We also know the narratives in our bracket, what tomorrow is, Loyola Chicago.
Yep.
Also, if we do get past them, the potential matchups with the, you know, former, you know, Oklahoma State, et cetera, if they make it. There's a nervousness because the NCAA tournament defines your success. Right, wrong, or indifferent, that's what it is.
Yep.
We're a one seed. We have expectations. The expectation is the one seed goes to the Final Four.
Yep.
But it is difficult to do. You're not a lock.
Yes. Yes. And it's going to, maybe this is the dumbest conversation ever. Maybe we don't have to have a place to land on this. Like, maybe we don't have to go into tomorrow with, like, this could ruin the whole thing. I'll just repeat what I said to you at lunch, or breakfast. Like, there's so much pressure here, and there's so much already churning in my stomach with people tweeting the battle for Illinois and all this stuff. And there's so much, like, churning. And it's that churning that would make a win so great. And it's that fear that would make a title finally so amazing. Like, you have to walk to the edge of the cliff and see how steep the drop is to really appreciate it when it happens. So, like, I'm both thankful for these nerves right now. Like, I'm thankful that we're here. We're a one seed. We have all this pressure. It could all fall apart at any moment because it's basketball and, you know, whatever. And I'm equally fearful of all those moments because I don't know how the drive home would be tomorrow, like, if we didn't do it. Like, it would be as devastating as any sports moment in such a long time. So, you know, I'm glad we're here, and I'm excited. And if we were to somehow pull this off, it would be, like, like to face all those fears and to overcome and win six games in a row would be the sports high of my entire life. But I'm also facing a top five sports low tomorrow. So this is like, this is as high stakes as it gets. This is taking your salary and taking like one roulette chip and going, you know, red or black, and let's just see how it goes and do that six straight times and see if you can walk away with millions or walk away with nothing. I'm like, it's, this is high, high stakes.
It is. There's a lot at stake. I've definitely approached this year different than like the 04-05 team, just because we had consecutive NCAA appearances, high seeds. We won a lot. We definitely looked forward 04. I mean, we knew we were one of the top two teams all year.
Yes.
We were going, you know, to the Elite Eight. There was no doubt. We knew we had a tough matchup with Arizona. But we definitely could look forward. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, sitting this year, I barely looked at the bracket. I sound like a coach and the player taking it one game at a time, because this is completely different. We haven't been in 7 years. We come in now as a one seed, not previously like a 4-1, you know, with the buildup up the mountain. And we have set our expectations so high. I mean, IO's video, we're here for a national championship. I mean, remember, we hadn't won anything.
Yep. I've been in a tournament since 2013. I have a player in August saying the words, I'm going to get that national championship.
Yeah.
What?
Right. Unfortunately, we didn't win the Big Ten regular season title. I normally don't place a whole lot of, you know, the Big Ten tournament doesn't normally mean a whole lot to me. This year, it meant so much just because we hadn't won anything. And now we hit the tournament, and that's even when we lost to Maryland, Missouri, the players, we're going to learn from this because we're competing for a national title. I'm like, how can you even think that? We just lost.
Yes. Yeah, we're 9-5.
Exactly.
Like, yes, yes.
And so there's a nervous energy. I'm nervous right now, and we're not even playing. We're going to go watch three games later this afternoon and evening that don't really mean a whole lot, just to experience it. But come 12:15 tomorrow.
Yeah, you saying 12:15 tomorrow, like that added 7.3% more anxiety into my stomach. So I feel like I'm really glad we are gonna watch some other basketball today, whether it's in person or at a sports bar, because you know, like as I said in the From the Stands yesterday, like there's nothing like, after you win a game like that, and then you got two more days to your next game, and you just watch basketball, and your team is good, and you know how many people have said to us in our Illini gear, you know, just walking down the street,
we have you in the final game.
Hey, I got you winning it all. Hey, I got you. I think you guys are gonna do the West Virginia fans.
Yes.
The Michigan fans in the parking lot this morning. The Uber driver,
the waiter.
Yes, the waiter. Everybody sees our shirts and wants to talk a little bit basketball, which is like this high. And honestly, I wish we, like, I wouldn't, we've been discussing this, and so we should put it on the pod here. Like, we wouldn't hate if the tournament was this every year. Like the ability to go game to game here. Like, our plan right now, if we can make the StubHub work, is to grab tickets for three games, like second session, third session, fourth session. Yesterday, some guys we met at the Illinois game had two extras to the West Virginia game that started at 9:40, which actually was closer to 10. Game cut over, 12:20 a.m. here? Yeah. So we went to Lucas Oil until 12:20, nearly fell asleep in the Uber on the way back. But, you know, like the ability to go game to game to game when the first round is all within, you know, as close as all these arenas are, is pretty exciting. Like with full fans and mobile tickets, the ability to transfer and grab tickets, you don't have to find a scalper, you just grab them on your phone and go to that game. With that ability, it's like this makes the NCAA, the actual tournament, a lot like going to a sports book in Vegas. Like, oh, hey, don't flip to that game. Literally go to that game and let's see what happens in the second half. So, I mean, I just feel like it could be a thing. Regionals were there because Eastern Washington, who's on our TV right now, oh, what's the score? Up 46-40 on self. Eastern Washington in 1949 was taking a bus to their game or whatever, and they needed a Western regional for the Western teams and an Eastern regional for the Eastern, like where it all began. Since that's not even necessary anymore, maybe having it in one spot, a city that, it doesn't have to be Indy, but you know, a city that can provide 8 courts over 3 weekends and, you know, first round games for the fans, it's just incredible. Like it's, you know, we might both see 6 games this weekend, and you know, how crazy would that be?
The format is amazing. They need to do this for the first 2 rounds every year. It might not be the, you know, all three weekends in the same place, but the first 2 rounds they got to do it. I mean,
yeah,
we want to see Hinkle Fieldhouse, right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
on the bucket list. We don't care who's playing. It's like, well, I got to see it.
Right.
All the fans are engaged. It's a central location. It just, it's nice because if we were to be in the West region, then you got to, how many fans are going to fly out there?
To Anaheim.
Right.
To, yes, yes.
So now you have one location. If you know about it beforehand, you get everyone in, and it is, I mean, we're basketball junkies.
Yeah.
Today we're going hitting 3 games,
and that's 2 guys who are 2 of the 17 who care more about Illini
football
than Illini basketball. Yes. Who we're like mainlining basketball this weekend. Of you know, like we should talk about like the West Virginia game last night. So Carmen and I sit at this bar. He gets yappy with he starts cheering a little too loud for Purdue to lose. Fans get mad at him. Okay, fine. We finish our meals. We get the text that the 2 extras for that game. We head in an Uber to Lucas Oil. We get there. We sit down, and you make friends with the West Virginia fans 2 rows behind us.
Well, you're feeling good. You come in. We're representing, you know, our school, and it's all.
And they immediately say to us, "Hey, I've got you guys winning it all, and all this stuff." And so you feel pretty good about it. Then there was a bad call on Morehead State. Well, a foul call on West Virginia. A Morehead State guy goes to the line. You're yelling at the call because you just can't stand bad officiating.
Can't stand.
Now the guy thinks you're his best friend 2 rows back. Hey, the Illinois guys even think that's a bad call. Then the guy sitting over here to my left, the Morehead State fan, is mad about that because, you know, people like identify your shirt. And it's like, why does he care about that? It was a great call by the ref. Our guy should be at the line. Why is this guy in orange yelling at it? And so now we've got this whole dynamic of West Virginia fans, Morehead State fans, and the Illinois fans who are supposed to be impartial but are, you know, making people mad. So let's talk about that, what that experience was like last night.
So if someone, regular season game, goes, hey, you want to go West Virginia, Morehead State game? I'm probably not going.
Yes.
But given, you know, given where we're at, NCAA tournament, we didn't even think about it. We're in the Uber going down.
Yep.
We had just won. We're a 1 seed. We're wearing orange.
Yep.
And people are, you know, not like we're the celebrity, but, you know, I mean.
Ooh, Illinois
exactly.
fans. Exactly. Yes, yes.
And, yeah, there was a group of 6 West Virginia fans behind us, you know, young guys that were loud into their team. And, yeah, you strike up a conversation.
Yep.
It was good. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Morehead State fans. They were loud, and there was a lot of them. They were louder than the West Virginia fans.
Yes, good for them.
Yes,
yes. Yes.
And that's what you want to see. So we just enjoyed a good basketball game.
Yes,
because we just had 1, and it's enjoyable, and we're going to enjoy 3 of them today.
Yes. The interesting dynamic, I think, to the whole thing is wearing the Illinois gear, because that's why the Purdue fan was so pissed at you, because you're wearing orange and cheering for green. And that's why the West Virginia fan was so, like, felt so bonded with you of, hey, this is impartial guy saying that was a bad call. So if I think it's a bad call and impartial guy thinks it's a bad call, yes, it was absolutely a bad call. And that Morehead State guy to his left can just shut up, you know. But then there's also the infighting. We should talk about that. Like the girl with the guys behind us and the West Virginia fans in front of us. I'll let you tell that story.
So 2 different types of fans at the game. So we had the group of 6 behind us into the game.
Every play.
Heat up DC for Derek Culver.
Yes. Deuce, come on, show him what you got, Deuce. Deuce.
We didn't know who Deuce was, so we're
number 4
right,
is Deuce.
Number 4 is Deuce. So McBride had, he as they said, dropped a 30.
Yes.
Dropped a 30 on them. So they were into the game. And then there was a group of four West Virginia fans in front of us, more interested in taking selfies of themselves.
Yes, they were phoning the game. They were either on their phone texting or tweeting with their friends about the game, or they were taking photos of themselves at the game and sending it to people.
Yes. So about 2 minutes ago in the game, one of the West Virginia fans behind us had a little too many beverages and basically called out their fellow fans in front for basically doing nothing the entire game.
Yes.
And
she let them have it.
Yes.
To know we could see you the entire, you're cheering now, now that we're up 16 with 2 minutes to go, but we've watched you not cheer and look at your phones, and that's a problem.
Right.
Yes.
And then you compare that to the Illinois fan base, and we'd be having I-L-L-I-N-I chants all over camp. They'd be kicking us out of the stadium as opposed to leaving, you know, with 30 seconds to go in the game.
Yes. So
it was two completely different types of fans at that game.
Yes.
For the same team.
Yes, yes. And I like earlier that you said, like, celebrities. Like, that's not the right word, but it... Like, can you think of a time wearing these shirts in the last 20 years? I mean, maybe 2005, but to be wearing these shirts around Indy right now, I wear Illini gear 75% of the time.
Likewise.
Like, in the last year, if I'm not, gosh, I in the last year during quarantine, I've probably been wearing something Illinois at least 9 out of 10 times, like 9 out of 10 days. Like, it's my only wardrobe. It's only, if I'm at home, I'm not putting on clothes. I'm not going to work anywhere. Like, I don't wear Illini gear when I'm in the press box. So there, take those 20 days out of it or whatever, but I'm almost always in Illini gear. And in St. Louis, I was always in Illini gear. Go to Home Depot, go to, you know, wherever you go to the grocery store, you're wearing Illini gear, you know, and, you know, we haven't been in the tournament in 7 years, and Missouri's good, or Missouri wins bragging rights 3 years in a row, and you're just, I'm still wearing it, but it's, you know, a little harsher. So to be wearing those same clothes, walking around Indianapolis, and getting all of these, hey, Illinois fans, hey, guys, oh, I got your team winning it all, you know, oh, my team lost yesterday. That's like, this is like some kind of, like, this is some kind of drug. You know, I'm just going to stick around Indy all week or something.
If it wasn't for social distancing, we'd be high-fiving everyone.
That's exactly right.
We'd be high-fiving the West Virginia fans behind us.
Yes, yes.
The Michigan fans in the parking lot and all that. It's, you know, we're one of the hot teams. We've been reintroduced to the national audience for college basketball.
Yep.
It's a wonderful brand we're putting out there. We're having fun. It's a great team to watch.
Yes, and there's personalities. Mm-hmm. You know, and people have grabbed on to the IO mask.
Mm-hmm.
People love, and I love, the international flavor of the team, of Curbelo, of Kofi, of Georgie. You know, like there are so many good storylines, and it seems, just from being around here, being at bars and being everywhere else, like you know, Illinois is a popular national team right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always talked about, like, God, we can't have any solid storylines, and we haven't had these, you know, what's going to help our recruiting? What's going to boost our image? Like, I don't think we realize how well our image is being boosted day to day to day right now.
The last 2 weeks have been amazing for the publicity of the program. Not that I wanted to go to overtime in the Big Ten tournament, but I mean, it worked out perfectly, right? You don't have the NCAA tournament last year. Everyone's dying for the brackets. The entire nation is tuning in for Selection Sunday. And what are they watching? They're watching Illinois win the Big Ten title. You can't ask for any more publicity than that, other than winning a championship. But at that time, that was, our program was center stage on the national media. Then also, you know, you don't talk bubble talk anymore, right? After Selection Sunday, you're talking who are the four number one seeds.
Yep.
So everyone's talking about it. Everyone who's filling out a bracket is
Yep.
Is, you know, one seeds go far. It's not like even two seeds. No one talks two seeds. No one talks three seeds. And those are powerful seeds. But it's the one seeds they're talking about. Who's representing the Midwest region? Illinois. Who gets the little snippet when they announce the pick, you know, showing some highlights? It's the one seeds. We are back.
Yep. Back.
Back.
Back, back.
Back.
Like, not just back. We're back, back.
Well, that's a conversation. So,
well, let's have it. Let's have it.
Let's have it. All
let's
right.
Let's have it.
So my word is sustainability.
Yes.
So this is, we started this at the bar. This is kind of how it all started.
Yes.
Before the games.
Yes.
Kicked off while we were watching the Mean Green.
Well, it's 59-52 Eagles here.
No, I like that.
Uh-huh.
We were thinking about going to that game, too.
Uh-huh. Yes.
By the way, the venue that we played at yesterday,
yeah,
the Coliseum,
mm-hmm,
if that was full with fans,
yes,
would be an absolutely so cool. Yeah. Amazing place to watch a basketball game and experience it.
I so wish, you and I have talked about it, I so wish those middle seats would have been full. Like, mm-hmm, you know, if you could be, like it just felt like the fans were, like, one end of the court and the other end of the court with the middle empty, you know? You're right. If you could just fill that place and that low ceiling with 6,000 people, it would be great. It just wasn't, like, I don't know. I was hoping for more because of that extended oval and the hockey rink and all the empty room for the cows and everything else. You know, it's just, you know, it's this like, oh, God, we're so close here to this really, really cool experience. But, hey, just to be in the building, I'm happy. But we're off. I'm taking this off track. Okay. Go back to where we were.
Yeah, so I try to define success three ways. You climb the mountain, you hit the summit. And the question is how long you can stay. And that's the true, you know, that's truly how you define success. You need to stay at the top. Yep. We know historically over both programs, right? We do hit the peak. We do hit the summit. Unfortunately, we also go down the mountain really quick and also stay at the bottom of the mountain, unfortunately, way too long. So my big thing is we're back.
Yes.
How do we sustain this?
Yes.
Because after 2004-05, you know, we didn't really sustain it very well. And then we hit a dry patch for way too long. And even at the game yesterday, it was 7 years, you know, just mm-hmm to get it out. I didn't go yes to the games
yep
7 years ago, but it was seven.
Eight years. Because we came out last year.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right.
Well, yeah, isn't that great? I mean, yes, last year is like yes a forget it. And so you just like put an asterisk by it. And it was technically seven seasons. But yes, like 8 years almost, you know, within a few days of our last moment there.
Yeah.
Eight years.
Even the Big Ten tournament. I really don't care about it. But watching it. I didn't go to the games, but I watched it from home.
Yep.
I was never more involved in two basketball games that, yep, in my opinion, we were going to get a one seed anyways.
Yes.
That's
yes
a whole other discussion. But I was
tiny little asterisk. If yes Iowa had won and then beat Michigan, maybe, depending on other things worked in the country, that, you know, that Iowa would slide past us, that mm-hmm they would have, you know, Iowa, Michigan, Illinois in that order. But yes, for the most part, we were 96% or 93% certain we were getting it. So those games didn't matter, is your point.
It didn't matter, but they mattered.
Good Lord, did it matter.
It yeah mattered. We hadn't yes won anything. And just to come back and, you know, come back and be relevant in the Big Ten, also knowing there's the number one seed out there and what that means for the entire program, it was I didn't play in the games, but man, I felt exhausted.
Yes.
Absolutely exhausted.
Yes. Yes.
We watched
yes
the games the same way.
Yep.
Pacing,
yep,
jumping up and down, screaming.
Yep.
I needed to go to this game because I don't think I was allowed to watch any more games at home. I had to get out of the house.
I said this to Carmen like three times. So we're up at one point in the game, we're up 29, middle of the second half against Drexel. Drexel's trying to put a guy in the game. Was it after a free throw or just an out of bounds? I can't remember exactly.
Just a dead ball.
Just a dead ball. They run the guy out late. Like the coach decides really late, oh, hey, I want 51 in the game.
Hey, official, hold on.
Yes.
I have a sub.
Yes. And Carmen starts going like nuts. Like the Illinois fans around us are like, what was this guy's problem? He's going nuts. Like, he can't come in. He can't come in. Illegal substitution. Screaming. And I just leaned over Carmen and said, you really needed this, didn't you? He's like, oh God. I needed that scream at that official. It's been living inside me for a year. And I could finally let it out where that official might hear me. I may have yelled at the TV. I may have done this. But I am in person, and that guy needs to hear what he did was wrong.
He heard it.
He did. I know he did. I know he did. And they heard our ILL chant as well, just like Michigan State. So, okay. So, yes. So, we really needed the Big Ten. Being back, being sustainable is kind of what we're all focused on. And, you know, as... You know, I should put the disclaimer here. It's like when we're talking about this morning, it's like, okay, look, yes, we can figure that out in the off season. Right now, the focus is, look, we're fans, and we don't have to maintain focus on this game. It's fine if we talk about the future because we're not playing on the team, and we're not going to get distracted, and we're not going to look past Loyola. So that's why we're talking about it. I just always have to throw that out there because somebody, the first comment on this podcast is going to be like, hey, focus on Loyola. Keep your minds on tomorrow.
We will be ready tomorrow.
Yes.
We will be loud,
yes,
and proud,
yes,
and in person.
Yes, exactly. So, so sustainability, I just wanted to bring up that side of our conversation because that's what started us on it when we're headed to breakfast, which was college basketball is a little bit different in 2021. Part is maybe the pandemic. Part is... just a certain phase things are going through. Part is one and dones. Part is the way the game has evolved, whatever. But it's this spot where there was that tweet I was telling you about where at some point this season, I think it was I looked it up. I think it's the 14 most wins in college basketball history, Duke and Kentucky and Kansas and North Carolina and UCLA and everybody else. The 14 top teams on that wins list, none of them were ranked at 1 week when Kansas fell out of the rankings, and Kansas is still losing. So, there's something going on. There's something a little different right now. There's not, you know, college football is in this era of the odds that Alabama will be in the playoff next year are probably 88% at this point.
If not higher.
And I haven't even seen their, you know, like... The danger of college football right now, especially with Oklahoma, if they figure out their defense, is you could just have, oh, look, it's Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma again. Like,
and we try to get Notre Dame in there as well.
Right. So over and over and over, it's just, well, if they recruit that well and they get the best assistants and they run the best systems, what are we doing here? Like, it's a danger to college football that it's just going to be, okay, one of six teams can win it. Okay, maybe an LSU puts together a great team, pushes past everybody, but, you know, for the most part, it's going to be the same teams. College basketball right now is the opposite. Like, the one seeds are Gonzaga, Baylor, Illinois, Michigan. You know, there's no real dominance from the Dukes and the Kansases and the Kentuckys, at least not right now.
Even do the two seeds.
Yes. And so look at where college basketball is, and is that an opportunity for us with the way Underwood has built this to sustain something here, to really continue. You know, we were talking about his staff's eye for players, the fact that he was able to spot Alan Griffin, who was not being recruited by anyone. And, why did Bass get this early commitment possibility yesterday? You know, they obviously really love him in the same way that maybe they loved Alan Griffin and this and that. You know, there's been so many years where, you know, fans would tweet responses to me saying, well, if this coaching staff wanted him, I want him. And so don't give this player 2.5 cruises. This is 5 cruises because he's an Illinois player and he wants to come here. No, like most of the time, if, you know, that's why we weren't in the tournament for 7 years, is because we were landing players that were not really, you know, on that high end kind of list. So I know I'm running the risk of, well, if Underwood wants him, then I want him. But this coaching staff has shown a pretty good track record here of finding pieces that Feliz didn't have another offer from anyone. Like, you know, Alan Griffin was a discovery. Georgie was a discovery. Like, there, it's, yes, you have to land an Io and you have to land a Kofi and you have to land a Miller and Curbelo, but you can also find other pieces and make it all fit together and get a transfer from Holy Cross who can, you know, be sliding in for rebounds and dunks and things like that. So, you know, the composition is what I'm getting at, that I think the probably the most encouraging thing for me of sustaining this long term is the way this staff has approached composition of a team. I think it's really impressive, and I think it's not just Io and Kofi. Obviously, if we're going to be number two in the country, you need an Io and a Kofi, but for sustaining this long term, I just like their approach.
Yeah, I always say college basketball's formula is real simple. You need three scores. You need you can try to win with two, but you need three competent scores day in and day out, and that's how you win. You see a lot of programs with two, and yeah, they'll win a big game, but also lose some. When you only have one, you're not going to be very good. So we have a roster that has scorers that can score. And we also have secondary scoring that, when it's not there, can then, you know, pick up when if one of your scorers isn't scoring. And the question is then how do you maintain that? Well, you need a point guard. Let's face it, college basketball is all about guard play. I mean, we've been watching a lot of games. The Kofi Center doesn't exist anymore. You have 6-7 small forwards bulking up to power forwards playing the five spot now. And you need a dynamic point guard, you need a score, three-point shooter, and then you need a big guy, whatever it might be. Might not necessarily have to be 7 foot, 285, but we got him and we'll take him.
Yep.
But it could be a 6'8 small forward that bulks up to a power forward, bulks up and plays the four spot. And it's exciting to talk about the future, and I guess we will be focused tomorrow.
Yes.
Because it's who's coming back? You got super seniors. You got the transfer portal. And there are a lot of players in the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to think about what X Big Ten team is going to look like, because honestly, no one knows, because you could all of a sudden have Minnesota, who just lost a couple guys in the transfer portal, could bring in six new guys on the transfer portal and win games.
Yeah.
You just have no idea.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just with the regular recruiting. And then, you know, does Kofi come back? Mm-hmm. So it's exciting. I'm bullish on the future. I like the system that we've now, you know, Underwood's, you know, offense and defensive system has gone through changes in, you know, the 4 years. I think he's comfortable with what he has. He knows that the current system can win in the Big Ten. He's finding pieces for it. We know what he wants now. He likes long guards. He doesn't like 6'1 guards. He likes long guards. Reggie Bass, 6'5.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, everyone's a lefty now. So,
yep.
We were actually counting the number of lefty basketball players on all teams. We're like, oh, there's another lefty.
Last night at Morehead State, West Virginia, we were pointing out the lefties. Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, it's exciting. Does Trent and DeMonte come back? We want to sustain this. I'm not saying we're a top five, top 10 program historically, nationally, but we are a program that competes for, you know, what are we? A team that competes for Big Ten championships.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to be every year, but you compete for it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not. And then also make a deep run in the tournament every once in a while.
Yes. And that's where I wanted to go next, because there's like two things to say after that. One, well, there's probably only one thing to say after that. All that is true, and I'm glad we're discussing it, and I just see this new era of college basketball or whatever is happening right now, especially with transfers and everything else, and, you know, the inability of Kansas, Kentucky, and North Carolina, Duke, all of them to be dominant like they were maybe even 5-7 years ago. There's a window there for Illinois. But two, and, you know, the most important thing is right now we have an opportunity. Like, you keep hammering on the door usually to get this opportunity.
Yes.
We're number two in KenPom now. We're number two in the AP and the coaches poll. I think we're now second in odds to win it all of bets placed in Vegas. So, you know, in that sense, yes, there's really only one thing to talk about right now is can we do this? Like, can it happen? And again, I get the risk. And again, I understand that putting these words out there, there are going to be people who don't listen to this podcast until like 3 days from now. And if we lose to Loyola, think of what these words sound like. You know, think of how painful it is to approach this as, yeah, you want to sustain because you want the chance to win it all. And here we are staring at our best chance to win it all in a long time, a top three chance to win it all of our lifetimes. A chance to put all of that behind us and go. And that should be the whole focus right now. So I want to just end what we're doing here with that focus. Keeping in mind that these words are risky because we could lose tomorrow to an emotional Loyola team. But like I legitimately have had this feeling ever since this run, since Io's broken nose started. I think this could happen, and I'm willing to at least like approach it, you know, like I think it's going to sound so stupid. I think of it like when I started dating my wife, you know, it, you know, all of a sudden the pressure cranks to a billion because it's like, hold on a second. This could be it. And if that's it, yes, that's amazing. And, but oh my God, the pressure of what I say next.
Yeah, don't say something stupid.
Exactly. It comes with this super excitement of, I'm pretty sure. I'll just tell the story. It's in my head. I might as well tell the story. Like when I met my wife, it was the day before. I'm going to go deep here, Carmen. When I met my wife, it was the day before. It was 10 years from when my dad passed away. So our first real conversation actually was the day of our first real conversation. We had met before, but when this whole thing started, I was going the next day to go like visit the cemetery to visit my dad 10 years since he had passed away. And when I went to that cemetery visit, I told my dad, I couldn't hear me, obviously I'm just talking to a stone, but I told my dad, like, I'm pretty sure I met my wife. And so, you know, and he's the only person I told, and this was this kind of special moment for me. So then I was glad I did it. And when we got married, you know, the day we got married, it was hard for my dad to not be there, but I had that moment, you know, like I went and I told him, he's the first and only person I told, pretty sure I'm going to marry this girl. And it was great. And it was neat to have that moment, but good Lord, the pressure between that moment and that of like, okay, look, I went out to the cemetery and told my dad this, if I screw this up, if this doesn't happen, like, good Lord, I like the pressure of that, of I'm going to deal with that for life, that I went to the cemetery and told my dad I was going to marry her. So, you know, it's that same thing for me. Like, I'm right now facing the pressure of an okay saying the words, I think we can win it all. That scares me to death to have them out there on the internet. But it's kind of exciting in the same way of like, I think met my wife, you know, like that's where I'm at with, like, I'm in this very cautious, pausing, very pressure filled. I think we could do this. I think this might happen.
This is where I come in and say one game at a time, one game at a time. I'm not looking
for. Let's just do the second date. Let's not start talking about wedding rings. Let's not look at diamonds.
I think in all my texts, slow down, easy. We're up big at Michigan. Oh, you guys won. You know, and there's 8 minutes to go. I'm like, it's not over.
Yep.
It's not over.
Yep.
One game at a time.
Yep.
I don't even think I mentioned that phrase that you just used.
Yep.
I'm not going to. It is one game at a time.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing great basketball.
Yep.
We're playing our style of basketball. And it's fun to watch. It's fun to be there. I will tell you, there'll probably be a Loyola Chicago will bring some fans.
Yep.
We're going to Bankers, a true basketball arena.
Yep.
It will be a great environment for a basketball game.
Yep.
And as we can see in the tournament, anything can happen.
Yep. And I'm willing to be okay with anything that can happen. Like, I have approached this tournament as I mean, we've seen it with Ohio State. We saw it with Purdue. You know, both those games had, I mean, heck, Ohio State had free throws to put it away, right? Like, I mean, you know, we
open look at the end of regulation, open look at the end of overtime.
Yes, and it's just, you know, we know what has happened, and we know how fragile it is, and we know how much. So, you know, I guess my point is I enjoy the excitement of the maybe. Like, I like being back at maybe is incredible.
So this is what makes the tournament so great, right?
Yep.
We have the game on. 66-66. You think Kansas fans are happy Eastern Washington is in the game?
Yes.
With
right.
8 minutes to go? Absolutely
right.
not.
Right.
If this game is played anywhere but an NCAA tournament, it's a 25-point blowout.
Yes, yes. And that risk, and that it's always waiting around the corner, and that Loyola's guys could play the game of their lives tomorrow because they would not love nothing better than to beat number two Illinois. You know, like all of that pressure and all of that is what makes it great, you know? And so it's the same thing I was just talking about. Like, it's possible, and the fact that we're in that conversation is so exciting, and the fact that we're in that conversation is so maddening that you and I will struggle to sleep tonight. Like, neither of us is going to sleep well.
There'll be no sleeping tonight.
And then what? We win, we go to Sweet 16. How do we sleep all week? If we get to the Final Four,
pump the brakes. Pump the brakes. Slow down.
But I'm just saying, like, the pressure of we won't sleep tonight, and it's around a 32 game.
Yes.
Like, just imagine where this would go, you know, if we follow our seed and get to the Final Four.
And look, I mean, we're in the national game on CBS, I believe, tomorrow.
Yes.
I mean, everyone's going to be watching the game. They want to put us on in that time slot. We're a fun team to watch. The storylines are great.
Yep.
And this is what it's all about. This is March Madness. This is every year. And some teams win, some teams lose. And it's going to be an absolutely great environment for college basketball and for fans and players to be involved for tomorrow. I just wish it was full.
Yes, I agree. I agree. But that's really well said. I think we can wrap here. Like, we're, you know, let's just mark this moment, right? Like, college basketball is back. Fans are actually allowed. I wish it was full. I wish tomorrow could be the loudest Banker's Life in the world. But it's, you know, like, we're kind of emerging from this pandemic that canceled last season. We're number two in the country. We're one of the favorites to win it all. We have all this pressure, but we have the team that can handle it. Like, this is a good moment. And every good moment like that comes with the fear of it could be devastating. And every good moment, like, comes with, you know, the knowledge that it could be one of the greater sports moments of your life. And that's why we do this. And it's why, you know, it's why I love this team, and why I'm so excited that it's this team facing that pressure, and, you know, what they've shown before and everything else. So I'm ready to do this.
The good news with not many fans is you'll hear us tomorrow.
Yes, yes. Listen for Carmen and I. Carmen will be the one yelling at the officials. Okay, that's going to wrap. Any final words, any final thoughts on the University of Illinois Fighting Illini basketball team?
We'll be ready tomorrow.
We'll be ready. Go Illini.
ILL.